Now, more Cap and Haw on Comcast SportsNet and WGN+.
Holiday, good numbers with the bases loaded in his career. And here's a long one to left. That ball is long gone. Slammer for Holiday. And he breaks this game wide open.
Felt comfortable coming out, you know, out of that warm-up and started off the game pretty good and just didn't work out.
It's a learning curve for him. I mean, he's not a complete product as he goes out there. He's continuing to learn and adjust and do things, you know, at the major league level. So this is part of that curve.
Carlos Rodon surrendering the salami to Matt Holliday of the Cardinals. Then you heard from Rodon and Robin Ventura in the wake of that 8-5 loss. White Sox fall to the Cardinals last night. Cap and Haw continues. Comcast SportsNet and WGN+.
Yeah, tough night for the Sox. They have now lost 4 out of 5 coming out of the All-Star break and kind of proven or confirmed that the run right before the All-Star break was more the exception than the rule. And as they get nearer to the trade deadline, they've got to get busy. As Paul Sullivan writes in this morning's Chicago Tribune, call it the sell, S-E-L-L. Han must begin fumigation.
He's right.
I can't argue with that. Can't argue with that. Carlos Rodon did not have it. I was flipping back and forth, and I think the highlight of last night's game might have been Frank Kaminsky taking batting practice.
Yeah, I'm watching the game in the studio in the newsroom yesterday, and so I see Frank Kaminsky there and the whole deal, and he having his chuckle. We had two favorite teams in my house, the White Sox and anybody playing the Cubs. Love the passion, the whole deal. And then I watch him do an interview in the booth. Where'd a Hawk go for a meal?
I don't know. Maybe that's part of his deal. Just gets
Stoney and Frank Kaminsky. And I'm like, well, where's Hawk?
I don't know, but I think the Bulls are interested in bringing Stoney in to maybe, you know, sit a third guy in the booth for certain games next year.
That's it.
His basketball acumen off the charts. Stoney can interview anybody. He's a conversationalist. He's a pro. And I thought that he handled that as well as you could have expected. But Frank Kaminsky has some personality, too. But, no, Steve did a nice job.
By the way, another change in the Cub lineup for Game 1 today.
Who's pitching? What?
Kyle Hendricks will hit eighth and pitch. Addison Russell will replace Starlin Castro at shortstop in Game 1. The slumping Castro has been put to the bench.
And is your Spidey sense going off? You got Clayton Richard. Okay, you know somebody just heard that and did this math equation. Cubs minus Clayton Richard minus Starlin Castro in the lineup equals major trade. Are you just giving Castro a day off because he needs it? He needs it.
Well, let's see.
As a guy who has been, you know, in the minority of saying that the Cubs should be careful in trading Starlin Castro, it's impossible to deny his struggles right now. He looks lost offensively. When he caught that ground ball, I think it was in the ninth inning last night, he made a routine ground ball look a lot less routine than it should have.
When yesterday?
Yes.
Holly and I are watching, and Holly goes, what are you doing, dude? He goes, why are you backing up taking the short hop?
Yeah, exactly. So I wasn't the only one that looked like, okay, that was smooth. No, it wasn't. He needs the break. So I can understand giving him a day off, especially a game off if he's going to play in the nightcap.
They haven't said if he's in the nightcap yet.
But do you think there's anything – every time Starlin Castro will get a rest until July 31st, people are going to wonder,
is he out of the lineup because he's
being
traded?
What's going on here?
Here's Jolton Joe Madden on Starlin.
We tried everything, you know, whether it's the kind of work, more work, less work, hit and run and let him hit on his own, moving him up and down in the batting order. It's just what it is, man. I love the way he's going about his business, though. I'm good. He's been playing a good shortstop. He's been throwing the ball well. Good at-bats yesterday. Tried to move the runner. Almost hit a home run. I know he hasn't hit that hot streak yet, and I've not really seen one in person, but I've heard about him. But I'm here to tell you, man, if he keeps working the way he is, it's going to start happening for him.
There you go. There's the manager.
You're skeptical?
I just think you're selling low if you're selling him now, unless he's part of the package.
You're not selling him because I think you tweeted it out, and I do think it's been the case now for a couple weeks. I mean, he's not a guy that has performed at the level he's used to performing. He acknowledged that, I think, in the story in today's Sun-Times by Gordon Wittenmeyer. But I think, Cap, everybody realizes what they're watching here. You're not watching a guy that's at the top of his game. You're not trading him now because you're not going to get as much as you could in return if you were playing typically the way Starlin Castro has played. He can still turn it around. The Cubs have to hope he will. And, you know, we'll see. I don't know that there's anything connected, though, between until we hear differently. Clayton Richard being designated for assignment, Starlin Castro getting the game off. I don't know. I don't think there's a big deal.
I don't think they're coming. Related.
I don't think they're related.
All right, let's go to the phones.
Yep.
312-235-2525. John's in Indiana, and John joins us next. What's up there, Hickory?
Hi, John.
Yeah, I was wondering if you thought the White Sox might trade with the Cubs by any chance.
Which player?
I'd like to get Quintana.
You're going to pay through the nose. He's on a team-friendly deal.
I am going to pay
through the nose. And he's good. Yep.
I am going to give up Montero, and I'm going to give up Baez.
No, for
the White Sox are not taking on the $30 million that's left on Montero's deal. Not happening.
Well, they haven't had a catcher for a long time.
And you're not giving up those two guys for Jose Quintana. I mean, he's good, but come on. Baez and Montero?
I don't think the Sox would make that deal.
I don't think if you're the Cubs, you want to make that deal.
Baez and Montero for Jose Quintana. I'd do that in a second.
Yeah.
In a second. Sox would never do that.
You would trade Javi Baez for Jose Quintana.
A team-controlled lefty who's good? Yes. In a second.
Yes, but you've got a guy there. You don't have to worry about paying through the nose for Price next year with Quintana in the lineup.
Thanks, John. Appreciate the phone call. I'm going to hang up and tell Cap why he's wrong. It's a hypothetical, so these trades tend to, you know, be kind of silly to discuss. But, okay, you are confident that as much as we have lauded Kyle Schwarber for the last hour, that you don't need a veteran presence either in front of him or behind him. Montero's not disposable.
I'm not saying he is. I'm just saying I can get Jose Quintana for that.
And you're going to give up on Javi Baez, the guy that you spent a year and a half proclaiming was the next great thing on the north side for a third starter?
This is not
for a number three starter.
Billy Quintana. This is Jose.
Who's Billy Quintana?
Jose Quintana's good, man.
I know he's
and
good.
And he's controllable on a long-term deal.
That's a big part of it. But he's still a number three starter. You're not getting Chris Sale. I don't know about that.
I don't think the
Sox would be that. I don't know.
Sox wouldn't do it. They wouldn't take that kind of money on.
No, they don't want to take up.
No shot.
No.
312-235-2525. Daryl is in Fort Wayne, Indiana, blowing through the wandering state of Indiana today. What's up, Daryl?
Hey, Daryl.
Well, you guys were saying who Schwarber reminds me of. It's Thurman Munson for the Yankees.
Wow.
He's built like Thurman. I saw Thurman play about 2 months before he got killed. I got a picture of him and Bobby Mercer running in because I was right behind the Yankee dugout. And just the Yankees didn't win a World Series for 18 years after Thurman.
Daryl, you've got to probably be referring to Kyle Schwarber's mentality, the approach, the leadership, because, I mean, I don't know if they are similar in other ways. Thurman Munson's a pretty good defensive catcher, too.
Yeah, well, I'm talking about that. Yeah, Thurman was a very good hitter. In fact, he had over 500 in that World Series against the Reds, and everybody bragged up Johnny Bench. But, you know, Thurman had problems with his arm. Kyle's got a better arm than Thurman, but, you know, I'm just saying, I saw him play at IU, and that's the first thought come in my head. I was saying, don't draft him, Cardinals or White Sox. Sorry.
Thanks, Daryl.
Appreciate it, Daryl. Thanks, buddy.
Thurman Munson. That's quite a comparison.
Thurman Munson and Stoney played together in high school.
Really?
I believe
they went to the same high school?
No, I think the high school state all-star tournament. They were teammates.
Tragedy when his plane went down.
Brutal.
In the midst of his career.
Brutal. Let's go back to the phones, and Jason's in Oak Forest.
Hey, Jason.
Wait, hang on a second. Hang on. Jason, there you go. Hey, Jason.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing today?
Good. How are you, bud?
Good. Welcome back, Cap.
Thank
hope
you.
Your, hope your Vatican trip paid dividends for us.
I'm hoping. I'm working on it.
Hey, you know, the original 30 years of the last offensive catchers, you know, I had Carter, Piazza, Posada, and Pudge, of course. So what about Carlton Fisk, Gary Carter?
Yeah, I mentioned
Gary Carter's
Gary
a good
Carter.
One.
Obviously, Fisk. We just kind of left him outside that 30-year window. I don't know. When did he retire?
He retired probably
93 or somewhere there.
92, 93.
So he would have fit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess he would have.
Well, what a game by Schwarber last night. That kid looks special.
He
that
does.
That kid looks really
That's
special.
A good word to use because that word's been thrown around a lot on the north side with these rookies. Thanks a lot, Jason. I appreciate the phone call. Special is a good way to describe Schwarber, Bryant, Addison Russell, even though he struggled at the plate, Soler. I mean, he's got that quality to him, too.
They got a lot of chips.
And those are just – that's not even counting the type of season that Rizzo's having, you know, and the pitching that has been consistent. Of all the things, there's no wrong answer here, but what has surprised you more in this Cubs season? The play of the rookies, the reliance on the rookies, or the starting pitching?
Starting pitching has surprised me the most, that it's been this good.
Because even more than the reliance on the rookies and the guys who have come through that maybe you didn't anticipate coming through this soon, you didn't anticipate Arrieta being this good, the starting pitching being this consistent. Jason Hamill's been maybe the most underrated starter in the National League.
Hey, Kevin Hall, brought to you by Horowitz, Horowitz & Associates, Illinois' top personal injury lawyers. They won the largest verdict for a brain injury in Illinois history, largest verdict for a back injury in Illinois history, and the largest verdict for a neck injury in Illinois history. That is the Triple Crown of lawyering. Horowitz, Horowitz, and Associates, these guys win, and thank them for their sponsorship of Cap and Haw. 312-235-2525. We'll grab a few more of these calls. Larry's in Galesburg, guys on the south side. Russ is in Palos Hills. Drew Sharp from the Detroit Free Press. We talked David Price, Yoenis Cespedes, and the impending blow-up of the Tigers, possibly. That's all coming up on Cap and Haw.
This is the Cap and Haw Show from CSN Chicago and streaming on WGN+.
Make sure you don't miss the Cap and Haw Show presented by Horowitz, Horowitz & Associates, weekdays at 9 on CSN Chicago.
Shouldn't David's last name be half? It's like laugh only with an H?
I suppose. I could ask him.
But he can pronounce it any way he wants.
Hey, how you doing, Huz?
Could you pronounce it half as in laugh?
You could if you want to. I don't, never have had people suggest that. Thank you, Jim DeShayez.
Exactly. And Len Casper.
For mentioning Len Casper with a K.
With a K.
Why would you spell it with a K?
Right. You could spell it with a C. You could.
As in the Friendly Ghost, you could.
Right, you could.
But typically, the people who have the names probably choose how to spell it and pronounce it.
Correct.
So this is the Cap and Haw Show. Just pronounce it correctly, spell it right. That goes for everybody in Indianapolis, getting ripped down there on the Twitter machine. We'll get to that later. But anyway, yeah, nice to hear from Jim DeShays and Len.
There you go. 312-235-2525. Again, Drew Sharp joins us. In about 10 minutes from Detroit. He's their lead columnist, Detroit Free Press.
We want to get to these calls. We've got a full phone lines. But I wanted to ask maybe rhetorical questions, people who were at the Sox game last night. I got a sense of this watching it because I was flipping back and forth. And I've gotten a couple of email to this effect. Did the Cardinal fans drown out Sox fans last night at times? And I have seen a lot of just walking even out of Michigan Avenue.
There's a lot of Cardinal fans out there.
They travel well.
They do.
The Red Army has arrived. And you know the Sox is struggling as mightily as they have. They're not going to get a lot of fans out there, even on a beautiful summer night like last night was. So was there a sense, Sox fans, that you looked around to your left, you looked around to your right, and all of a sudden you felt like I felt at the Taylor Swift concert, overwhelmed with enthusiasm for the people that came out to see who they love? and the Cardinal fans travel well.
They do on that grand slam by Holiday. You'd have thought it was in St. Louis as loud as
I
they
know.
Got. They got into it.
That was the one. One of the email references was like, "Are we on the south side? Or are we in St. Louis? I don't see any, you know, the arch anywhere."
It was pretty interesting. Let's go back to the phones, and Russ is in Palos Hills. Russ, good morning there, Romeo.
Hello, Cappy, old Poochie. How you doing, buddy?
What's up, Cookie?
Hey, Russ.
Yeah, I got a couple of comments. Like Castro, his batting stance, he kind of emulates Jerry Glidden with that wide-open stance where he's, you know, kind of got his leg way over there towards the third baseline.
Right, and then he closes it down when he strides.
Well, I think he needs to start out a little more close.
He's done that. Russ, he's done.
He looks like he's about ready to fall down sometimes.
I don't mean to interrupt you, Russ.
But he's gone to 3 All-Star games this way.
Yeah, he's done it when things were going well. He was doing the same thing. So I just don't know if it's all about that.
Yeah, none of us here combined, Russ, know anything about hitting compared to the guys that teach him that at the big league level.
Well, it just seems like he's stretching more and more. Maybe he needs to just close it a little bit to get himself in balance and all that. And my other comment was, at Schwarber, I mean, you were talking about his defensive liability. It kind of reminds me of Keith Moreland, if you remember him. He couldn't catch a ball. We put him at catcher, and they put him in right field, and he still looked like a kangaroo with boxing gloves. But my most memorable moment was in 84, August 1st. If you remember that, they played the Mets a doubleheader for first place.
Yeah.
And that second game, they won both games, which was awesome. And there was a beanball war in the second game. And the guy made a mistake. It was Lynch. I think he beat Moreland.
Yeah, Ed Lynch.
He went up there like a linebacker, and he just totally sacked him. And the place went up in smoke. It was just beautiful.
Yeah, I totally.
I'd like to see what would happen if Schwarber would get beamed like that. Would he do the same thing and put another highlight reel out there like that? Because, like I said, I think that's on the Cubs' all-time highlight reel.
Yeah, that one.
Thanks,
and we
Russ.
Appreciate the
that was beautiful.
Appreciate the call. We also remember Kyle Farnsworth tackling Paul Wilson.
Yeah, Kyle Farnsworth.
In that type of situation.
What is he doing now? He's playing he was in the news recently.
He's playing
football,
semi-pro
football.
Yeah. Defensive end.
Right.
Second or third in the league in sacks. I remember after that one game with Ed Lynch, he was a Mets pitcher. Ed Lynch going off on Bruce Levine, and Bruce Levine saying something like, "Without me, you don't have a job because I'm your link conduit to the fans." And Ed Lynch going, "Without you, I don't have a job?" And he went off, and it's a famous piece of tape.
I have heard it.
It's very funny.
It was a moment in Bruce's illustrious past.
APO Doc 2 on Twitter. Alex says, "I was at the Game Boys, and I would say it was at least 60-40 Cards over Sox."
That's got to hurt. That's got to hurt.
Wow.
60-40, wow.
Back to the phones. Let's see. Larry is in Galesburg, Illinois. Larry, hello, buddy.
Hey, Larry.
Hey, Cap and Hall. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Well.
What's up, Sparkles?
First of all, I'd like to thank Cap for his when he did the Ernie Banks Memorial, and I really, really cried for 3 hours. The question I have is this a 1984 Cub team?
It evokes those type of memories. But that team went out then and got a lead dog in Rick Sutcliffe in June. And he went 16-1 the rest of the way. Are the Cubs going to make an addition that has that type of impact over a shorter span? I don't know.
Do they need to? I don't know. I don't. But I would wait to compare them to the 84 Cubs. Larry, I think the excitement level is building in that direction, but they still have to win something. I think there's a newness. There's a novelty still. And I think there's a youth explosion that 84 Cub team didn't have. I mean, they were – it was a younger – it had a mix of veterans, young players, but this team is loaded with rookies. So I don't know. We'll wait and see. Kind of we'll answer it later. Thanks, Larry.
Larry, thanks for the call, bud. 312-235-2525.
You think 84, Cap?
No, because that was more of a veteran club that came out of nowhere. This is a thing that's been building.
I mean, that 84 team had Say.
But I will say
Boa.
But that 84 team had these magical moments – like last night, Schwarber, the Ryan Sandberg, Bruce
Every
Suter game.
Every championship season will have those magical moments.
They will.
But the 84 Cubs were built with sort of veterans who had starred elsewhere and came to band together to win in Chicago. This team has a different mix and a different, I think, chemistry. Young players on the rise who are going to be here for a long time.
Should have a core. Let's go to Al in Elmwood Park. Hey, Al, what's up there, you rock star?
Hey, Al.
What's up, Arnie? You guys do a great job. You know, the traffic on the Dan Ryan makes more noise than the Cubs, the Sox fans, by the way. you know, what about, listen to this, what about Brandon Phillips, 34 years old, 2 years left on his contract at $13, $14 million. I would give up Starlin Castro, and I would do that in a heartbeat if I'm Cincinnati. I got a 25-year-old Starlin versus a 34-year-old Brandon Phillips. Man, you put Brandon Phillips out there with Addison Russell, you get great defense, and you get him for two more years, and that's when we're supposed to be good. I think that would be a great move. What do you guys think?
Well, I understand. I mean, you're getting an elite glove.
Elite.
But you're talking about adding $27 million plus what's left on this year's deal. So it's well over $30 million.
A lot of money.
It's a lot of money, man. A lot of money.
A lot of money for a guy that how does he fit in the Cubs clubhouse?
I can't answer that one. But I don't know what he's
based
like
on what you know
guy.
About his reputation,
sounds
would
like
you
he's
have concerns?
Pretty well liked there.
How do you know his Twitter handle?
That dude BP?
Yeah.
Because he and I got into it.
You broke that out yesterday. Hold on. You got in a Twitter war with the Brandon Phillips. Where was I for this? Do I remember this?
This was when Darwin Barney won the Gold Glove.
Uh-huh.
I tweeted at that dude BP.
You did?
Oh, yeah.
You rubbed it in his face?
I did, because he did not congratulate Darwin Barney, and Darwin was not a big fan of his. Like, he never got
there was
the,
a rivalry there.
He never got the, hey, man, congrats.
Why would you do that? Why would you rub it in his face? Why would you light a match like that? Is that before the newer, kinder, gentler Cap and learned how to have a little Twitter discipline?
I've learned to holster my Twitter. I've been better.
So you and Brandon Phillips got in a Twitter war.
We did. We went at it.
I don't remember that epic battle.
And he tweeted back some, can't remember what he said.
But Cap, he's not on the market. He's not on the market, right?
Brandon Phillips is signed for 13, 14, and then he's an unrestricted free agent. He's making 12 this year. So you're talking about paying him for 2 months, another $4 million. It's a $31 million addition, plus you're giving something up.
They're not doing that, and I haven't heard him mentioned in trade talks. Have you?
No. Now, they would trade him. Lance even told me that yesterday.
Of course, because $31 million he's owed.
He is 34 right now.
Yeah, I don't really see that being a realistic option to discuss. There's a lot of other trade possibilities they could discuss, and we're going to get to one of them with Drew Sharp, the sports columnist from the Detroit Free Press, that can tell us a little bit more on David Price's availability. What is the price for David Price?
By the way, Brandon Phillips is hitting .281 with a .318 OBP, a .684 OPS. I mean, that's not
elite
offensive
numbers. It's not happening.
You're getting a great defender.
Yeah, but it's not happening.
No, not going to happen. Sports Talk Live tonight on Comcast Sportsnet at 5:30. Sox Cards teed up tonight at 7. CSN's Chuck Garfine, our Chuck as we like to call him, and Belton Billy Melton are answering your questions live during the game. Visit CSN Chicago's Facebook page to participate. And for you soccer fans out there, the Fire and the New England Revolution this Saturday at 7 o'clock on CSN in the English broadcast. The Spanish Espanol broadcast will be available on CSN Plus. 312-235-2525. Starlin out of the lineup today in game one, at least. And Addison Russell slides over to short. 312-235-2525. We'll get to more of your calls. And we are headed to Detroit to talk to Drew Sharp. Be right back.
This is the Cap and Haw Show from CSN Chicago and streaming on WGN Plus.
You're always looking to improve. I would say your pitching's always number one to improve. I mean, if you look at the team on the field, I kind of like it. There's other things going on. So I think, you know, if you had to look at one thing, you're always looking to augment the pitching.
That's Joe Maddon. His club playing very good baseball. Got everybody in Chicago jacked up, at least on the north side of the city. Last night, Kyle Schwarber, game-tying, two-run home run on the top of the ninth on a 3-2 pitch. He hit it a mile and then won it with another home run in the 13th. And again, becomes the fifth player, I believe, in Cubs history hit two home runs in a game, both occurring in the ninth inning or later.
Yeah, I think it was Sammy.
Sammy.
Sandberg.
Dawson. Sandberg. Schwarber. And Dave Kingman.
Yeah. King Kong, good old number 10.
There you go. Let's go to our friend Drew Sharp, Detroit Free Press lead columnist.
He was number 10. He was number 26, right? Dave Kingman.
Yeah, he was number 26.
Yeah. I said the good old number 10.
Oh, I didn't even hear that. I was getting ready to lead into Drew. Drew, good morning. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, Drew.
How you guys doing today?
We're doing very well because we got a baseball team that looks like they're in add-on mode and everybody jacked up by how they're playing. That leads us to the Motor City. Do you believe when you come back from your vacation that David Price will be a member of the Detroit Tigers?
He still will be a member, but his days will still be numbered. I think they will wait probably till the very end. The deadline is July 31st, and I think that Dave Dombrowski will keep dangling him out there maybe till the 29th or the 30th to see exactly how much he can get. And I do think, guys, they will be able to get maximum return for both Price and Cespedes, two rental players. But in the right mix for the right team, I think you can easily get a couple major league-ready prospects for both of those guys.
Does it matter, do you think, Drew, that there is the connection with Joe Maddon and the Cubs? Then, you know, David Price has been, you know, tweeting with Jake Arrieta. There seems to be a Chicago allure that maybe people in Chicago are making more out of. But do you think that factors in at all when it comes to this equation?
Well, I think it's going to be a Cub over the winter anyway. I just think it's a no-brainer for him to, you know, become a Chicago Cub. And if you're the Cubs, you know, why would you give up prospects for a guy who you're pretty confident you can sign to just throw a boatload of cash at him in January?
Because you're trying to win right now.
Well, there are other options up there than David Price that you can get for, you know, to pitcher, you know, a pitcher that can help you. And if I'm the Cubs, now, if I'm the Tigers, the Cubs are the first team I'm calling because you would like, if you're the Tigers, you would like to get a couple guys, of those great prospects that the Cubs have in A and AA ball. But if you're the Cubs, I think, you know, you still have to look at it a little more cautiously. I know how excited people are on the north side that this team has a chance to contend, and but it's more important that they still, like I said, take a more cautious, more prudent approach. This team, the Cubs, aren't going anywhere. This is going to be an up-and-coming team for the next few years. So I don't think there's any need for them to just say, okay, we have to go all in, if you will, just to try to get a wild card in this first season.
All right, if you look at what you guys gave up to get David Price last year, and that was with a year and a half of team control,
right.
You gave up Drew Smyly. It was a three-way deal, I believe, the Mariners, right. Tampa Bay, and Detroit. But in that deal,
right.
Drew Smyly, Austin Jackson, and there was a minor league infielder going from the Tigers, Willie Adams. You
right.
guys didn't give up that much to get him. Why would you think you would get that much more this time when you only get him for about 10, 12 games?
Because there are more teams out there that think they can win. I think there'll be more buyers out there this year than there were a year ago. And you have teams like the Cubs. You know, there'll be a lot of teams out there who are unfamiliar with, unaccustomed to being in contention, and they're going to try to sell their fans that, okay, we're going to go out there and do the best that we can. So when you have more buyers out there, that improves the odds of the sellers. You know, if you're the Phillies, if you're the Tigers, if you're the Milwaukee Brewers, it will provide you the opportunity to maximize those assets and get more for a 3-month rental than you normally would get.
Drew, how would you describe the Detroit experience with David Price?
I think everyone's been quite enamored with him. He and Justin Verlander became quite good friends, and there was a relationship there. There was a camaraderie between Verlander and David Price that we never saw with Verlander and Scherzer. And I think part of that was because Price did not, you know, feel that, okay, I'm going to come in here and be the top dog. I'm just going to be here and just, you know, do the best that I can, pitch the best that I can. Perfect teammate. You know, the Tigers have said in the past that, you know, they would love to re-sign him. But, you know, if you couldn't give Max Scherzer $210 million, I don't think you're going to give that to David Price this year. And if you're David Price, I think you're better off going to the National League, like Scherzer did, because I think it's easier for pitchers in the National League than it is in the American League. So I think the Cubs are the perfect fit for him in 2016. I'm not so sure if the Cubs will break the bank, if you will, to try to pry him from Detroit before the trading deadline.
All right, what about, we're talking to Drew Sharp from the Detroit Free Press, Yoenis Cespedes. Cubs need a big bat in the outfield that they talked about adding. Now, Kyle Schwarber's emergence may have allayed their fears. Do you think that Yoenis gets moved?
I think he gets moved, yes. I think the Tigers move at least four guys. They're going to move Price, Cespedes. They will move Rajay Davis. They will move probably Alfredo Simon and Alex Avila.
Wow, that's major, Drew. I mean, when you look at Detroit, we look at coming into this season, I know everybody loves the Royals and for good reason, as we have seen. But here the Tigers sit one game under 500. We're July 22nd, and those moves that you described would signal they're not even interested in chasing the second wild card spot.
Right, and the person they have to convince is Mike Ilitch, the owner. I think Dave Dombrowski has already accepted in his mind that, you know, it just didn't work for this season. You had a bunch of injuries, you know, that made the obstacle even higher, tougher to clear. So I think Dombrowski's come to terms with it, but Mike Ilitch is the guy you got to convince, because the last time the Tigers were sellers was in 2008. Every year since then, they've added a piece or two at the deadline. And Mike Ilitch, you know, I think he's worried that, you know, if you sell off and all of a sudden, you know, Comerica Park's going to be half filled and people are going to think you're quitting. And that's not really the case, guys. This is still a very good team. And I think you look at, you know, some of the pieces they already have in place going into 2016, they're not as old as people think. You have, you know, they'll have five everyday players in the starting lineup, that'd be 27 or younger. And two of those guys were all-stars this year, and Jose Iglesias at shortstop and J.D. Martinez in right field. So this idea that if the Tigers sell, that means they've shut the door on a strong era, you know, that's ridiculous. All they're doing is just regrouping and trying to rebuild a minor league system that's been depleted over the last couple of years with all the trades they've made as buyers at the trading deadline.
Hey, before we let you go away from the Tigers for a second, what's your record prediction for the Detroit Lions?
Well, Cap, I'll go to you first for that one. What do you think?
9-7.
9-7. Okay, I'll flip it. I say it's 7-9, 8-8. You know, they're not an awful team, but I still have concerns about Matthew Stafford. I don't think he's ready to become an elite quarterback. I think he's content on being very good. And if that's the case, then I think they'll limit how much further growth he has. I mean, I think this is his seventh or eighth season, and people in Detroit are still saying, well, you know what, he still has upside. When you get to year seven, you are who you are. That's going to be it for him. So I think he's still a very good quarterback, but I question how badly he wants to be a great quarterback.
Yeah, but even saying that they're going to flirt with 500, Drew, assumes that they're going to be pretty good defensively without Ndamukong Suh. I know they have replaced him. I know
good.
That, but I think that people need to remember how dominant Suh could be in stretches.
Yeah. Ndamukong Suh was the best defensive player in the NFL, and you know we can go on a whole hour how the Lions blew it in letting him walk away for nothing when they should have traded him, like I suggested a year ago, at least to get something in return. But having said that, I digress. Terrell Austin is an excellent defensive coordinator. He's probably a year removed from getting a head coaching job in the NFL. But the secondary will be a little bit better, but the defensive line, which was a line strength, simply will not be as good as it was with Ndamukong Suh. This is why they're going to have to rely on the offense to win games for them, those games that they could count on the defense a year ago. And that falls, again, on Matthew Stafford. Is he ready to lead this team to a point where he can be judged as an elite quarterback? I don't think he's there.
Appreciate the knowledge. Here's hoping you trade David Price to the Cubs for, I don't know, a couple Class A pitchers.
Hey, if that's the case, I'm sure I'll be talking to you guys again soon in another week. So.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Drew.
Thanks for your time. Enjoy your vacay.
Appreciate it.
All right. Take care, guys.
See ya. There he is, Drew Sharp, our buddy from the Detroit Free Press.
Sounds like David Price is a guy who is likable from the fan standpoint, from the media standpoint, and from teammates' perspective. And
I think he's a perfect fit.
He would be ideal here. If not now, later. but I think sooner would be preferred.
All right. We've got a lot more to do on the show today. You decide feature.
Yeah.
We've got all these calls to get to next, and then that's Whack Bro at 11:25.
Yeah, I'm going to get to the got to talk about this Pacers thing.
Yeah, no question. Get the ultimate experience with the all-new Samsung Curve 4K Ultra HD TV Adapt in Glenview. With the Samsung 4K Curved Ultra HD, you get the fastest internet and smart TV functions available. Come in the app today. See the complete selection of Samsung electronics. Or call them at 847-544-2228. 847-544-2228. For complete satisfaction, free delivery, a better experience, shop where we shop. It's Apt, A-B-T. Apt.com. Ask for the great Steve Shapiro. Apt's been pleasing people since 1936, and they'll be running the Bay Autism Golf Outing on Monday. Hope to see you all out there.
And by the way,
Orchard.
Dave Kingman was number 10 with the Cubs.
He was
26 with the Mets.
Correct.
So
got a bunch of tweets on that. We'll take a time out. We'll come right back, and I'm going to ask David a football question before we get to these calls. Tiers that you can rank NFL quarterbacks in. Tier 1, can carry a team week after week and contend for a championship without much help. Tier 2, less consistent, need more help, but good enough to figure prominently into a championship equation. Tier 3, good enough to start as a QB, but needs lots of support, making it tougher to contend at the highest level. Tier 4, typically reserved for unproven starters or those who might not be expected to last as in the lineup all season long. Tier 5, not good at all. Where would you put the Jaybird? We'll talk about that after this.
Now, more Cap and Haw on Comcast SportsNet and WGN+.
Focus on the fundamentals that we've gone over time and time again. And most important, don't get caught up thinking about winning or losing this game. If you put your effort and concentration into playing to your potential to be the best that you can be, I don't care what the scoreboard says at the end of the game, in my book, we're going to be winners. Okay? All right! Let's go! Let's go! Let me hear it! Go, 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 go!
You going to be okay over there?
Fine,
great
man.
Scene from the
fine.
Movie
great
Hoosiers.
Yeah.
And the reason we play that here on Cap and Haw on Comcast Sports at WGN Plus is the Indiana Pacers have announced that they will be wearing in select home games Hickory uniforms to honor a partnership with MGM Studios, 30-year anniversary of the movie Hoosiers, and to commemorate the history of Indiana basketball.
You brought this up yesterday, and I did not know this was happening. And my reaction to it was real. It was probably a little not over the top.
That's why I didn't tell you in the office.
It was animated. And I left there thinking, God, that really bugged me. That bugged me. And certain things, as when you do what we do, if they bug you, you probably should, if you have the opportunity to, write about it, right?
Right. Or talk.
Or talk about it. Mm-hmm. Or express yourself in a way that is part of your job to provide commentary, analysis, nonsense sometimes. So when I got back home after the show, I thought, and I talked to my editor about it, he suggested I should write about this. So I did. I'm glad I did. I'm glad I did because it expressed my point of view as a native Hoosier. Mm-hmm. I think it's a bad idea. I think it's something that certainly struck a nerve with a lot of people down in Indiana once this story circulated in the great state and in the capital city down in Indy. I've heard some from some friends. I think they're still friends.
Dan Dockich.
I heard some from people that are very disappointed in my take. I have a line in my column about how, you know, if you're going to pay tribute to the rich heritage of the Indiana high school basketball, which this is intended to do, they should honor the team that inspired the movie, not the team in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, it would be a miracle, and they call it the Milan Miracle. Instead, it would be a miracle if half the people who buy Hickory jerseys know that tiny Milan in southeastern Indiana isn't the city in Italy.
Right.
And I said, an entire state just got dumber. Thanks, Pacers.
And I so disagree with you. I told you this after the show yesterday. It's a cool little marketing hook. Many more people know of the movie Hoosiers than know of Milan, Indiana, and Bobby Plump.
I don't disagree with that at all. Absolutely don't disagree with that at all. But it's fiction. they're honoring.
But they did a deal, a business deal with MGM.
Of course they did. This is a business deal. This is has nothing to do with the rich history of Indiana high school basketball. This is about profit. And meanwhile, you have Milan 54, the museum in tiny town in Indiana, hemorrhaging financially. Can't get people through the doors. Do they benefit from this financially? I don't know. Are the Pacers going to? Probably so. Aren't they gonna? Don't you? Those are cool jerseys.
Really cool.
Those are cool jerseys. I'm not critiquing the look. I'm not critiquing the fashion statement. I'm critiquing the statement it makes by ignoring history. You're honoring a fictitious team. When's Norman Dale night? You know who shows up for Norman Dale night? Nobody, because he doesn't exist. It's not a real person. I just think that they could have done better, and I have heard how wrong I am. It's your opinion. You're not wrong. Dan Dockage says how uninformed I am. I'm not uninformed. I talk to people with the Pacers. I understand the rationale. I know they didn't want to go. Why they didn't want to go down a road and honor one school, because you'll forget other schools and licensing and marketing and MGM. I understand why Hollywood movie maker would want to align itself with a small market team, or more likely, more accurately, a small market NBA team would like to align itself with a major movie maker. I know why the NBA would like that too. I don't have to like it. I'm not, it's just, it's an opinion on a uniform the Pacers will wear. That's all. That's part of the job.
Okay. What year was it that they won the title?
54.
54.
1954.
Okay, hold on a second here. Because they actually, the Bulls could do this. It came way, it came before tiny Milan,
yeah,
Indiana.
I did the
Hebron
story. Hebron.
The Judson twins.
I did the story. Yeah.
Phil and Paul. Rob
Everyone's
Judson.
Done the story, yeah.
Right. Rob Judson played at Illinois,
right.
Coach at Northern.
This was pre-Milan.
Right.
And I did the story, but when Illinois went to the Final Four in 2005, I spent a day in Hebron because of talking about Illinois legends and stuff. Mm-hmm. And there's still some people up there upset.
The Judsons were Illinois legends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're upset over the fact that Milan, Indiana was what they made the movie about.
And March Madness is a trademark owned by the IHSA.
Absolutely.
In Illinois.
Absolutely.
So why don't the Bulls then wear Hebron jerseys?
The Bulls haven't introduced an idea to honor a fictitious team. If they did, I would criticize the Bulls.
Okay, but what if the Bulls did Hebron jerseys?
Cool. It'd be cool. Nobody would know what they're talking about. But do you honor, do you pay tribute to people, occasions marked because you want to make the people, are you trying to please everybody, be universally pleasing, or are you just trying to do it because it's the right thing to do, right? That's what, this is not going to make any money. No one would know Milan, Indiana, if you put Milan on the jerseys.
Right, but the Hickory jersey's going to sell like hotcakes.
Well, that's what it's all about. But there is no, if you look at a map of Indiana, there's no Hickory, okay? It's a myth. It's fiction. Gene Hackman.
Hickory.
And so last night I'm getting a ton of feedback on this and reaction from my good friends.
That's what a columnist does.
So somebody sent me a link, and I unbeknownst to me, Keith Olbermann from ESPN went off on the same tangent. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that made me feel better or worse.
Exactly.
But because he's been known to go off on some, but he was strong, and he deemed the Pacers the worst. He has a bit every
the
night
worst
on
person.
The show. The worst person in sports. This is what he
worst
had to
person
say.
In the world. Yeah.
The Hickory uniform is a tribute to the rich tradition and history of basketball in the state of Indiana. No, it's not. It's a tribute to selling more jerseys at the Pacers team store. It's a tribute to a movie. It's a good movie. You want to pay tribute to a good movie? You can stream the movie for $2.99. The Pacers actually wanted to pay tribute to the rich tradition and history of basketball in the state of Indiana. They would make a shirt celebrating the real-life team Hickory is based on. Milan High School, which actually won the 1954 Indiana State Championship despite having an enrollment of only 161 students. Their last three playoffs wins were against Crispus Attucks High School from Indianapolis, then a school from Terre Haute, and then from Muncie.
So I think that it's a small island that the people that oppose it are on is not very heavily populated, but that's okay. We can be there for a day. It's like the Dallas Cowboys having, you know, as I wrote, it's like the Dallas Cowboys putting on the uniforms of the Dillon Panthers because they want to honor the TV show Friday Night Lights. It's just a publicity. It's just a money grab. That's all it is. I think every attempt to defend it by your honoring the rich heritage of Indiana high school basketball overlooks the fact that the team responsible for the movie that honored the rich tradition of high school basketball is being ignored here. And they'll have other ways to honor Milan, they say, and they're coming out in the press release, and that's great. But there's only one name on the jersey you're selling for $79.99 or whatever it's going to sell for.
Hickory.
Is not Milan. So, it's not funny. A Hollywood ending that is a happy one.
All right. You pick up David's column, front page of the Chicago Tribune Sports today. Kevin Hall brought to you by Horowitz, Horowitz & Associates, Illinois' top personal injury lawyers. They won the largest verdict for a brain injury in Illinois history. They got the largest verdict for a back injury in Illinois history and the largest verdict for a neck injury in Illinois history. That is called, yes, you got it, the Triple Crown of Lawyering. That's the Secretariat of Lawyering. Horowitz, Horowitz and Associates, these guys win. We'll get to these calls, Guy and Dave and Ryan.
And your Cutler question.
And I wanted to ask you a quick Cutler question.
Okay, we'll get to
take
that.
Take time, I'll be right back.